From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan, another weekend in the Great Lakes State with me, Duran Martinez. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Lots of new things on the website. Lots of new events on the page. If you're looking for something to join in on, a lot of banquets happening. Our friends at the Pheasants Forever Chapter 467 have announced their banquet. It's coming up, and it'll be March 6th at the Eagle Eye Conference Banquet Facility in Bath, Michigan, along with Safari Club International holding theirs, Whitetails Unlimited having one on February 14th. We need to get you out there as well. Tickets for that are going to be winding up soon, so get on the Wild Michigan Radio Facebook page to find out all that, and wildmichiganradio.com on our events page, and you can see where we are going to be at. Also want to thank our friends at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, Darton Archery, and HHA Sports. Bringing you Wild Michigan yet again this week. I'm going to travel over to Ontario, Canada via the telephone. I'm not making my way there yet. Hopefully, maybe in the fall for an early fall bear hunt. But Rick Marchand from Just Us Hunting TV joins us right now. We met him last year at the ATA show along with his lovely family. And we chased him down briefly. Briefly, we got to see you, Rick, at ATA in Indianapolis earlier this month. And first and foremost, sir, welcome to the show. Good to have you on.
It's good to be on. Thank you very much.
And good, not at all, man. We had such a great time the previous year. This year, for whatever reason, we didn't get time to spend. And I just wanted to catch up because we saw your arm was in a sling. And man, you can't pull a bow back like that.
No, it's hard.
So was this some great Canadian adventure that caused your arm to be slinged up, or is there something less exciting?
Well, actually, there is. I had a pretty bad fall 5 or 6 years ago. I had a tree stand malfunction on me, and I broke my back in three places.
Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. Shattered my wrist, broke both my feet, whatnot. Anyhow, whole bunch of bumps and bruises, and this is just a result of that. So they went in there, they did a little bit of surgery, got me sexually refit and emotionally overhauled, if you will.
Well, sure. And that had to be quite the experience. I mean, not only the recovery time, but talk about emotionally what it was like to get back in the tree. Have you been back in yet? I mean, it's been a while.
Well, it's been a while, and I was back in the tree, and I've hunted an awful long time. I've been strictly bow hunting for over 35 years now. And the very first time I went back up in a tree, there was some hesitation. There's no doubt about it. But you definitely learn more about safety when that happens.
Absolutely. And you know, look, we can, and you know, sometimes equipment, that happens. You know, it, no matter how good or how much money you spend, things can malfunction. It's just the facts. But we're so glad that, you know, you're here to talk with us today, as is, I'm sure, your family, Louise, who hunts with you on the show as well. How long has Louise been hunting? Because, I mean, she's at these shows, and she's a real go-getter.
Oh, she is. She's been at it for quite some time now. And the girls as well. Both my daughters are involved in the show. They actually started shooting bows when they were 3 years old. So they're 25 and 27 now. So Louise has been shooting longer than that, and I just don't want to age her because
no, that's fine.
Smarter than that.
You don't want the other arm in a sling.
That's correct, yeah.
Rick Marchand joins us from Just Us Hunting TV, a family show out of Canada. When I say family, like Rick mentioned, his wife Louise, his daughters Kelly and Erica both hunt on the show, and you have some other folks that hunt with you as well.
We do. Actually, I'll give you a rundown on the show. It started off years ago, back in the days of the VHS recorders. We were actually filming our hunts and doing a terrible job. But back then, everybody was just happy to see anything on the boob tube, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And as the years progressed, we started watching a lot of the hunting shows, and they weren't anything like what we were experiencing in the bush. So I'm kind of bullheaded, and if somebody tells me I can't do something, I'll do my darndest to prove them wrong. So I started off a blog, actually, and I was taking all these old video clips and making 5 and 10 minute shows of them, if you will. And it just showed the trials and tribulations of our hunt, the fun, the camaraderie, the whole bit. And lo and behold, I started getting a following. And finally somebody said, well, are you ever going to put this on TV? Well, I said, sure, why not? Without knowing absolutely anything about what I was jumping into, I decided I'm not doing this alone. I'm dragging my wife and kids in with me and five of the best friends that you could ever possibly have in a family. So we say it's our family and an extended family.
Sure.
The term extended family isn't a marketing term. This is actually an extended family. The girls have known these guys since they were born virtually, and they've been an integral part of us. So really it is one big family that are out, and it's very easy. We show the hunt, and we tell the story, and it's honest, and people really appreciate that.
You know, and that's one thing, too, that I personally, Rick, as you know, three networks, 500-plus television shows, everybody's got to have a show. Everybody's got to, you know, oh, I got this sponsor, I got that sponsor. You know what? That's all well and good, but, and I'm going to call a lot of these guys out. I'm not going to say specifics, but a lot of them cannot talk in front of a camera. They may be the best hunters in the world, but man, you need to be able to put that message forward. And
that's,
and
that's
from what I've seen,
true
you guys
on so many
do it.
Levels.
You guys do it. You are a family. And that's the one thing we noticed too, is at the Wild TV party where we met you last year, is you are a collective effort, not only when you hunt and film together, but when you travel to these shows, you are, you know, again, a collective effort as a family. And there's just not a lot of that on TV anymore.
Well, I think it might have something to do with the fact that we don't have a clue what we're doing. So as we stumble along, you get to see us at our most vulnerable point.
And you know, a lot of people don't have access to other shows. You know, we have three networks here, mainly in the U.S., in the States, and Wild is some a bit of a satellite thing. I've had friends that have been on it before. But I think it really opens up a different perspective, and it's not all the monstrous, well-managed properties. I mean, this is Canada, and if you've ever hunted Canada, which I've had the very good fortune to do so, it's not like hunting here. It's very different.
I would have to say I agree with you. The only place I've actually hunted in the States has been Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a different hunt. It's not a bad hunt, don't get me wrong.
Oh, no.
But it's an entirely different hunt. It's an entirely different mindset. Ourselves, it's not about the trophy. Our hunts, really, it's about the memories that you make there. And it's not
sure.
just the memories of the kill. It's the friendships that you have and the experiences you have during the hunt. And I think on our show, it actually shows that. We're getting some really good reviews back, and our fan base, you know, love our show because of it. It shows the camp life. It shows the setup of the camp. It shows the butchering of the meat. It shows everything that is involved in that hunt that week. And it's not, as so many of the other shows are, just dedicated to the kill.
Sure.
And I think that's where a lot of people are dropping the ball. A lot of the new shows coming out are trying to be exactly like the show beside them.
Absolutely.
And we're trying to separate ourselves from that. And I think we've done a good job.
I think you have, too. We're going to speak more with Rick Marchand from Just Us Hunting. JustUsHunting.com. And you can find him on Facebook as well, Just Us Hunting TV. We're going to be right back here in a couple of minutes. You're listening to Wild Michigan. WildMichiganRadio.com on the Michigan Talk Network. Welcome back to to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez. God, I love that song. Just so you know the tie-in, that's the Guess Who. Albert Flasher, one of the great, great bands out of Canada and one of the great TV shows out of Canada, Just Us Hunting TV. My friend Rick Marchand joins us right now. Of course, it is Canada's hunting family, real hunters, everyday people. That is what the website says. JustUsHunting.com is where you can go. And before I get too far into it, I have to mention real quickly our friends at Safari Club International, the Lansing chapter, putting on their banquet, and I'm going to be there with a whole table full of friends. We'd love to see you there March 20th and 21st. The 20th is the outfitter night. The 21st is the night of the banquet, and all of that information is on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. This is a great event, and I do not want you to miss it because Safari Club International is literally first for hunters. They are the group with the lawyers on staff to protect our hunting rights, not only in the U.S., but on an international level. So thanks to them for being a part of the show. But back to Rick Marchand from Just Us Hunting TV, the whole family literally that hunts together on the show. Rick, you know, like you said, it's on Wild TV, but if we want to watch it, you put up full episodes on your website as well.
Yes, we do. We have the entire season one on there right now, and as we air throughout Canada, when that episode ends that week, we air four times a week, when that episode ends, we post the whole version on our website, and like you say, it's justushunting.com. You can go on there, you watch it, it's all HD, it's great. And while you're at it, you can hop over and give us a like on Facebook.
Absolutely, and you know we've liked you on the Facebook. We follow you on the Facebook, and you're getting ready. Not you personally, you're still a little slinged up there, but the family getting ready to do a spring bear hunt. You know, I can't remember in my lifetime a spring bear hunt in Michigan, even though I've been hunting my whole life. But a spring bear hunt is a bit different than the fall.
Oh, it is. It is. Actually, I used to guide Northern Ontario for the spring bear hunt before it got canceled. And it is entirely different. The temperatures are different. If you are going after a bear for a rug, the spring is the time to get it. It's the optimum time. It's the best fur that you could get on a bear. We are just trying to reintroduce the spring bear hunt in Ontario right now. Last year, they had a pilot program in only a few select areas. And they're doing it again this year. Now, the hope is that they open it up across Ontario. Currently, it's only for residents. But in all honesty, it doesn't do the economy any good unless we can open it up for non-residents and have you guys come back up here and enjoy the spring bear hunt with us.
Now, a lot of folks don't know. I mean, there's a lot of area in the bush in Canada that is such prime bear hunting opportunity. You don't have to go far. We've traveled 12 hours from Lansing, from my home in Michigan, to a middle of nowhere camp called Shining Tree, Ontario, that is loaded with bear. But this is one thing: if you are new to bear hunting, you need to have a guide, because it's five steps in and it's completely different world.
You can get lost so easily here. And like you say, it's five steps in and you turn the wrong way, everything looks the same.
Absolutely. Trust me. And when you have a when you have a canopy over you of leaves and trees, and it's dark by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and bears are dark and they come in quietly, you know, you stay to those trail markers, those ribbons hanging from the trees that you put out.
That's right. And trust your guide.
Yeah,
by
absolutely.
All means. And, you know, if you are going to make it up into the boreal forest of Canada, a little reorientation with a compass won't help either.
A real compass, not the GPS that you rely on, a satellite signal.
That's
because
correct.
A lot of times you won't get it. But what are the tactics? What are the tactics for spring? Because I know it's in the fall, it's heavy baiting, and you can pretty much train the bears, if you will, to be able to come in to the sound of that quad and the buckets banging.
Well, there's a lot of similarities when you go to that route. But if you're going to be successful in the spring, there's a progression that the bear goes through when he comes out of hibernation. And believe it or not, prior to going into hibernation, the bear will chew a lot of its belly fur off. And what that does is it creates a plug in their intestines. So while they're in hibernation, they won't defecate in the den, if you will. They're retaining every piece of protein that they can. So when they come out of hibernation, the very first thing they hit are the green grasses because it's not filling, and it slowly worked its way through, and it allows them to pass this plug. So if you're baiting early and you're baiting lots and a bear comes in and gorges himself, you're not going to have that bear come back for a week or two because his stomach is now so distended that it's painful. So you start off small and with small quantities. And if you can, it all depends on the geographic area you're in. The further north you go, they don't really have a sucker run and the fish, you know, for the oils to help the bears out. But the further south you go, fish actually is beneficial. So you have to know the geographical area that you're hunting, and that is actually going to determine the amount and the quantities and what type of bait you're going to use. But when everything gets going full bore, we all know donuts is the best.
Yeah. Look, there's something about a donut bear and man just have in common that you cannot deny.
That's right. As long as they don't touch my coffee, we're going to get along just fine.
Yeah, that's true. I guess we have that separation. If bears had opposable thumbs, we'd be in trouble.
We would be, for sure.
Rick Marchand from Just Us Hunting TV. Again, their website, justushunting.com. A great family outdoors show. So, let's just take this on a personal level. Your arm's in a sling. Are you filming still? Are you going to get out there?
Oh, yeah. Nothing's going to keep me out of the bush.
Gosh.
At Christmas time, I had the operation on the 18th. On the 26th, I was out in a ground blind with my daughter filming her. It wasn't comfortable, but it was still a joy to be out there.
No, that's, you know what, and I've met the girls, and they're both wonderful girls, and as a father, I'm sure that you know that the job that you and Louise have done have it's been very good, and it's been so nice to meet them. Now, Erica, where did the name Critter come from for her? Because I'm going to single her out, particularly because your other daughter wasn't there. Kelly wasn't at ATA this year. I didn't see her anyway.
No, she actually, she's leaving for Holland this weekend, so holidays were kind of an issue for her.
Sure.
But Erica and Critter, the name fits.
Well, yeah.
From her earliest days, she was jumping in mud puddles and playing with frogs and snakes and salamanders, and to this day, if there's any of those critters around, she's still playing with them. So
that's fantastic.
It fits and it stuck.
Yeah, well, you know, look, again, I've had the opportunity to meet her, and yeah, it fits. I mean, from what I know, it fits. And you know, you're a great family, a lot of fun to talk to and hang out with. And it's unfortunate our times aren't we don't get to do as much because of the distance and whatnot, but the ATA show is a great time to meet you and hang out with you guys, and I really appreciate you coming on the show.
It's been a pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, Duran.
Absolutely, not an issue. JustUsHunting.com. Find them on Facebook, Just Us Hunting TV. It's Wild Michigan. A whole lot more coming your way. WildMichiganRadio.com. If you'd like to get the podcast for free, stick around. Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez. He is Alex Clark. Although you don't hear him, you don't see him. He is there, I promise you. Pushing the buttons downstairs for Wild Michigan as we enter our ninth year on the Michigan Talk Network. Very happy to be a part of your day. Very happy to have HHA Sports on board. The Kingpin Light Optimizer, the single pin sight, man, these are going to be awesome when we put them on our dart and bows, and can't wait. They are American made, out of Wisconsin, single pin archery sights that you can set your range on the fly, and have that 20 yard starting point. Man, I'm looking forward to getting our hands on, getting Chris Hamm back on here, and talking more about that as we approach More of the outdoors, the archery season, the practice times. I like to shoot outdoors because that's when you really get a feel for your bow, and that's when we'll do more reporting on that. But right now we're talking ice fishing. We got our good friend Chuck Mason on the line down from the Monroe area. Chuck, Lake Erie, what's it been producing? How's the ice first and foremost? Because we know safety is always our biggest issue, something we have to watch very closely when it comes to ice fishing.
Well, you definitely got to watch that west wind. Anything out of the north or south, as long as it's generally in the west wind, you have to be careful. We've had some issues already, whether you're in Ohio or out of Michigan. We've had a couple chunks break off and go floating out. It's not as cold as last year, but not as much snow either, so travel is a lot easier.
It is. When you're traveling, how far are you going out on Lake Erie? Because we know it's a big lake. We know that some of the water runs deep, and we know that ice can shift because it's so expanse. But how far are you usually going out?
You know, I've got a couple of people I know live right on Stony Point, so I'm fairly lucky. I can walk out 200 yards and be in 18, 19 feet of water. But if you launch from the Breast Bay Marina, you're looking at about a three-mile hike or three-mile run to get to the same spots. And although Breast Bay is not as well known as Camp Perry or Crane Creek down in Ohio, we're still catching 10-pounders right now.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Holy smokes.
Jigging Rapalas, Slender Spoons, which used to be made by Reef Runner, and they're now made by Custom Jigs and Spins. Anywhere from a quarter ounce, depending on the way the jig fishes, or anything up to about a half ounce is to get the job done as far as a spoon goes.
That's amazing, man. 10-pounders through the ice. What? Explain to me what you're rigging with this. I mean, line and stuff.
Well, I'm rigging them up. You know, I'm with St. Croix, so I am rigging them up on a... Everything is depending on the equipment. So if I'm running out there with a machine, I'm taking my big Voyager from Clam, and I'm using longer rods. If I'm walking out there and weight is, you know, I'm not a spring chicken, so weight is always an issue. So if I'm going out there and I'm fishing in my small shanty, I'm taking my shorter rods. But main lines are going to vary from 8-pound to 12-pound test. I like mono. It just doesn't freeze up on your reel. If you're going to be inside a shack, and that's fine. You know, don't get me wrong. If you're fishing inside a shack, braid can be great. You get the sensitivity, Suffix 832, that kind of stuff. And you can downsize a little bit, 6-pound test. When you go with braid, because you can cut the current a little bit, you can go with those lighter lures. But when you're fishing inside the shanty, you're usually going to have a heater running, and you don't have to worry about your line freezing up on the reel. If you fish outside with a braid, sometimes your spool can just lock right up.
Sure.
Yep. And then I'll start off with depending on the spoon, depending on the jigging wrap, 8 to 12 pound test when it comes to the, 8 to 10. 12 is a little heavy for a leader. But fluorocarbon, always put a couple feet of fluorocarbon on it.
Now, speaking with Chuck Mason here on Wild Michigan, one of our good friends for many, many years here on the show. Chuck, you know, we worry about visibility under the ice, but it doesn't seem to bother those bigger fish when it comes to, you know, throwing a big jigging spoon down there.
It really depends on where you're at. Last year when the ice was great, we were out by West Sister in 30 feet of water, and you've got that current. And it's just like fishing out of a boat. You really got to have that line pretty much vertical. Not only for reading it on your Vexlar or flasher that you have, but the fish just seem to react to your action with the rod better when the line is straight up and down. It's all about control. It's always about control. It's not like the Detroit River where you got to worry about snagging.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what your rod is transporting down the line to that jig or spoon. And, you know, out there I was running 3/4 ounce buckshot rattle spoons from Northland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go inside Bus Bay, 3/8 and a half. A little bit different.
It is, and I know that water that's underneath. Even though it is a lake, there's a lot of water shifting underneath there. And again, that's what sometimes some of the issues come for folks that need to be rescued by Coast Guard because of that wind shift, because of the ice flexing out there. Maybe the possibility of it breaking away into an open water segment can be a problem. And that means it goes the same. It goes the same that there's water moving underneath you as well.
Yes, without a doubt, not only for the safety issue, but also for your equipment. Last year, it was the first time in years in this part of the state where I had to get an extension from Jiffy because the ice would get pushed under another layer.
Mm-hmm.
So what would happen is I would drill through 8 inches of ice, pop through and get about 4, 5, 6 inches of water, and then have to drill through ice again.
Yeah, that could be a little difficult, and you know,
yeah,
and
without doubt.
And how is the ice in your area on Lake Erie this year?
Right now, out of Monroe, we've got 8 to 10 inches.
Okay, so you got a fair amount. Nothing I'm driving on by any stretch.
Oh, I take as far as vehicles go,
mm-hmm.
Lake Erie is sketchy. No matter how you want to spell it out, you don't want to take your car or your truck out there.
No, but your insurance won't cover
quad,
that.
A snowmobile, depending on the snow level, by all means, that's extremely safe right now.
Now, when you're fishing on a big body of water like that, I know that we tend to drill a lot of holes. Your Jiffy power auger, very helpful, especially when you're coming onto
mm-hmm.
thicker ice like that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing a lot of holes like everybody else?
No, it's actually just a little bit different. I've got a tournament with the North American ice fishing circuit coming up in Nuevo. Not too far, your neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And within a, let's say, a 20-square-foot section, I might pop, I don't know, 15 holes.
Okay.
When you're fishing on Lake Erie and the fish are roaming, there's no structure to hold them. Where on the inland lakes, you got weed beds and different pockets that you might find. You really only pop maybe as many rods as you're going to put out.
Okay.
So if you're only going to fish a couple of rods, you got a buddy with you, you might pop 4 holes. If you're going to put out tip-ups, you might pop 10.
All right, Chuck Mason is our guest here on Wild Michigan. We're going to come back to you, Chuck. Hang on the line because we got something we're going to throw at you. I know you haven't seen them yet. But we're going to tell you a little bit about the new Tricky Ricky lures that we're working with here from Coda Pro Products. Of course, they also have the Ice Aggressor. And we are talking ice fishing. So check out Tricky Ricky Lures. There's a link on our website and the sponsor page at wildmichiganradio.com.
Hagen of ClareBirchley.ie inviting you to fish County Clare, Ireland. Now back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Owen O'Hagan been having some serious conversations with Owen about getting over to Ireland this year to do a little wild trout and pike fly fishing on Loch Derg in County Clare, Ireland. And I think it's going to happen, man. I think we finally got this figured out that we're going to take the show on the road, and it's going to be a big time in Ireland, although we won't see much of it, but we will do some fishing and hang out with Brother Owen. Right now, we're hanging out with Chuck Mason here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Let's talk a little bit about what you're using for these walleye, because if you're not drilling a ton of holes, and they have a tendency to school up, which is cool. But let's just suffice it to say that I've never caught a walleye through the ice. One of my bucket list things for ice fishing. Are you picking them off? Are they sticking around these schools when they happen to come through?
Well, the school, you just hit the nail on the head when they come through.
Yeah.
They're definitely schooled up, but they roam. So if you don't get a bite for 20 minutes, it's time to move. But if you get, you know, you wait that 20, even up to 30 minutes, something will come through. Whether you catch it or not, that's the trick. But they are definitely roaming. Lake Erie has very little structure. There's some contours. There's some drop-offs. When I mentioned earlier about walking 200 yards off Stony Point, there's a bunch of rocks, and they come down. And then 16, 17, 18, we'll catch walleyes there in the spring when we're trolling off the boards. And there goes the house phone. Anyway, they will do all that. They move quite a bit, and the house phone is dead. There we go.
You gotta love radio.
yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'm walking outside, and I'll brave the cold in my St. Croix hoodie.
That's all right. No, yeah. No shameless plug for St. Croix or anything.
It's a fantastic company, and I've been with them for years. You know, they're made in Wisconsin. You can't argue with that. They're not owned by a foreign company. You can't argue with that.
Absolutely not.
No. Anyway, 200 yards off that rock, there's, you know, if you went to Minnesota, if you went to Wisconsin, those people on those inland lakes, they look for that kind of structure.
Mm-hmm.
Lake Erie walleyes are no different. Same thing with the perch. We still have perch inside the bay right now. Just a little bit north of me, over at Stony Creek, still inside Breast Bay, you got the Breast Bay Marina. There's a creek that comes through, and it's about 20 yards wide. When it comes into the marina, you're catching jumbo perch right there, and they're snagging a, not snagging, but they are catching a few walleye while they're doing it.
You know, Chuck, this is the one thing, speaking with Chuck Mason here on Wild Michigan, the one thing constant that walleye love that structure. They love that rocky structure, whether it's springtime or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be around that structured area, and it only makes sense to maybe jig those areas.
Well, we were talking off air about crayfish.
Mm-hmm.
And crayfish are a natural forage for walleye. So it makes sense for them to be in there between those little boulders and rocks and natural structure that the lake does offer.
You know, and a lot of times, too, that they get, food tends to dart in and out of those areas, and fish are going to look for food. We had talked, I had mentioned to you about this new product that we're using here from CodaProProducts.com, the Tricky Ricky, the Trick Ray. Is the one of their lures, and it's a handmade quarter ounce weight, inch and a half long crayfish looking thing. These guys make these things. They're hand painted, hand soldered, using a number 4 gold mustad hook. They're good looking, and we've been seeing a lot of fish taken with them. And it only makes sense to put food in front of a fish that it naturally eats.
I think the most overused term in the fishing realm is match the hatch, but it still holds true. And if that's what their natural forage is, by all means, throw that down there. Emerald shiners, that's what is in Lake Erie, so that's what we tip our hooks with. Redtail shiners up in Minnesota, that's what they tip their hooks with. Small chubs over in Little Bay de Nac, Escanaba, when you ice fish or jig fish in the spring, that's what they use. So, yes, if that's what they naturally eat,
mm-hmm.
by all means, imitate that whenever you get a chance.
Now, are you tipping with anything else if you're fishing those areas? I mean, for perch, are you using, like, waxies or spikes or anything, kind of loading them up?
You know, most of the time I use spikes. You know, I keep some wax worms with me. You know, there's just those occasions, the wax worms are harder to keep.
Mm-hmm.
Spikes I can just throw in the fridge in between trips. I buy 1,000 over in Brooklyn every spring, or every December, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I might make another trip out there and get another 1,000. I might feed them to the neighbor's chickens after the season's over with.
Another advantage of having that kind of neighbor.
It keeps me in eggs. I can't argue with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know what? And you know where they're coming from. Anything yep. else coming up with you? What is going on with your blog? Let us know how we can find you there.
Well, the blog is Fishing Michigan, blogsmonroe.com/fishing. I've had the name Fishing Michigan on Facebook for years, and I finally did something with it this year. So you can find me on Facebook. Fishing Michigan, look for the guy right now holding about a 9-pound walleye from jigging this spring.
Absolutely awesome. And you said the walleye are doing still good right now on the Erie.
Yeah, they are. Again, watch out for the wind. The weather has been fine as far as cold goes. Thank goodness we haven't had a lot of snow, so there's not a lot of cover on there, and we're making ice every single night. Just pay attention to the wind and get that straight. You know, as long as it's out of the east, the northeast, the southeast, you're going to be locked up. You're going to be tight. And then I've got a tournament coming up over in Newaygo. I'll be fishing Croton Dam Pond.
Mm-hmm.
And on the North American ice fishing circuit, so I'm looking forward to that, getting my feet wet again.
That's a good deal. Chuck Mason, you've been hanging out with us here for a while. When the ice goes away, and I don't want to talk about this because it tends to bum a lot of guys out, but I got to ask, when the ice goes away on Lake Erie, what is your next move?
Well, I break out the church boards from Sodus, Michigan, and I start trolling right inside Brust Bay and out in front of Luna Pier. We've got some really nice structure out in front of Luna Pier. We got the dumping grounds, so I'll be trolling my Rapalas. And whether they're deep husky jerks or the shallow husky jerks, you never know when the fish are going to be down at the bottom, up high, or in the middle. So we'll hit it all.
Well, we'll be looking forward to talking to you then. Chuck Mason joining us. Once again, give us that web address and Facebook address that we can find you.
It's blogsmonroe.com/fishing, and then Fishing Michigan on Facebook. And I look forward to hearing from you.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you joining us. That is Chuck Mason joining us here on Wild Michigan. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com, brought to you in part by Lucky Buck. Going to check out a couple of stories from the outdoor press room real quick. It's kind of funny because, I say funny because if you think you can run with wild animals and hang with wild animals, you're going to get eaten. Ask Timothy Treadwell. Well, wait, you can't ask Timothy Treadwell because he's been eaten by grizzly bears that he thought he could live with. It seems the body of Kay Grayson, who lived alone near Columbia, North Carolina, in a secluded mobile home with no phone nor electricity, and regularly fed black bears, was discovered on a logging road several hundred yards from her residence last week in Terrell County. Terrell County Sheriff Daryl Liverman said Grayson may have been dead for two or more weeks, adding there was evidence that she had been pulled into the woods by a bear. I don't think we're going to need North Carolina CSI for that one. Again, don't think you can live with wild animals because they inevitably will think you're food, and very slow food at that. It seems a Lowe's shopper in Mississippi found something in the aisles they weren't looking for. It must have been a bizarre scene in Corinth, Mississippi, in Lowe's last week when an unidentified shopper inspecting a kitchen cabinet was bitten between the eyes by a common gray rat snake. The event took an even wilder twist, according to Corinth's PD Chuck Hines, as the reptile's head had to be cut off by first responders because it was stuck to the victim. You want to check the cabinets? Have your mother-in-law do it. Just a thought. Appreciate everybody joining us here on Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network.